Moncrief on News Talk.
You know that in Scandinavian countries, dogs pull people around on sleds. But there is a version of that that's becoming very popular in Ireland. It's called Canicross. And Louise Jones, another Louise, is president of Canicross Ireland. Good afternoon, Louise.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Describe, if someone was to see somebody doing this, what would it look like?
Okay, so I suppose I should say there are three different variations of Canicross. The one that is probably the most fun and the fastest and the best to watch as a spectator would be what's called bike joring. So
right.
That's essentially, it would be similar in a sense to the dog sledding, only the dog is pulling a mountain bike and the person is on a mountain bike. And you wouldn't have like six dogs pulling you.
Right.
You would only have one, maybe two.
Okay.
And obviously they're in front of the bike, they're pulling it. Same concept as with a sled, but no snow.
Okay. And over what kind of terrain are you being pulled?
Generally, forest trails would be the most popular. Sometimes grass. We try to avoid tarmac because it can be quite harsh on the joints for the dogs, as many tarmac runners themselves would know with their knees after long runs and stuff like that. So we tend to look for softer trails generally. Forest trails are fun because you have some obstacles and stuff to make it a little bit more fun and challenging.
Okay, and what's scooter joring? Is that
okay? So
I'm guessing it's a scooter.
Yep. Well, gave it away. So essentially, it's a large scooter. So it's not like the tiny little ones that you see the kids going on. It's a large scooter, which would kind of have a frame similar to a mountain bike. The tires and the wheels would be the same as mountain bike wheels, but obviously it's huge and it doesn't have pedals or gears. And the human is scooting while the dog is pulling.
Okay, and is there also a variant where the human's just running behind the dog?
Yep, so that would be the actual Canicross itself.
Right.
So it's canine cross country running.
Yeah,
which is Canicross.
I assume there must be like you can't do this with a Chihuahua.
You'd be surprised. We've
one that's been to the gym.
He's ripped. We've had a few people, because the thing with Canicross in particular is that a lot of it is the human. The human is the slowest element most of the time.
Mm.
You know, most dogs can outrun a human. So when you're Canicrossing, a lot of it is on the human and how fast the human can actually run, and if they need assistance. So obviously a Chihuahua wouldn't have a huge pull.
Yes.
Wouldn't be that strong in theory. Whereas if you were running with a Great Dane, you'd be getting much more assistance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, we've had Chihuahuas, we've had small little terriers on the bike. We've had great variations of dogs over the years in the
right.
club.
Yeah. So are the dogs actually pulling a bike?
Yep. They are.
Is
and
that
they,
not
they
like,
love it. Yeah.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
I'm sure you, I don't know whether you'll get texts in of people going, it's cruel making the dogs run, because a lot of people, and one of our fears is that people associate it with greyhound racing. When they hear the word race, because we put on races, people
sure,
think
yeah.
dogs plus racing equals greyhound racing. And I know I'm not getting into that, but I know the negative connotations that people have with that. And it's not like that. The dogs absolutely love it. Like you can't strap a dog to the front of a bike. If he doesn't want to run, he's not going to run.
Mm.
Like, you know what I mean? The dogs love it. They want to run. And even with the human, you know, the Canicross itself, you know, if the dogs are slow and they just want to take a plod, that's fine. And people will have their dogs running beside them. Some people nearly get dragged off their feet because the dogs are so enthusiastic, like myself. And it varies a lot with the dogs. And some dogs absolutely just live for it. I have four and they live for it. And it's that
yeah.
they do, you know. And
But if you're just, say, getting into it,
yeah.
do you have to kind of teach the dog how this works?
Yeah, so, I mean, if you think of a dog in front of a bike, you know, you can't manually control them with your hands.
Mm.
And you can reach speeds of up to 40 kilometres an hour. You know, with
okay.
an elite dog and an elite cyclist, you could hear 40 plus kilometres an hour. So you need that dog to know its commands. And what you do is you train them to understand voice commands. So you would say left, right, or if you want to go down the traditional sled dog terms, you would have G for right and H for left. And you train that so that the dogs know if you're coming up to a bend, that if you're going left, you say left, and you know that the dog's going to take that turn.
Right, because the dog would also have to know, I can run under this branch, but like I'm going to decapitate my...
So you have to teach them slow as well.
Yeah.
And whoa, if you fall or anything like that, which, you know, as you do, anyone who's been on a bike will lie if they say they've never fallen off the bike before. These things happen. So, you know, you need your dog to actually be able to stop and not keep running on with the scooter or the bike behind them as well, you know. So so stop is also an important one. But yeah, you kind of teach them. And there's certain times when you teach them, you know, go faster. You know, you teach them to pass other things. So if you're racing and you're passing another competitor, The dog needs to know that it's not playtime. He's not going to play with that other dog. So they need to know that they've to pass the other team and keep going. And yeah, so it's all about the voice command.
And so where you hold the races, is it like a straight line and everybody goes for it, or is it over time?
Usually, so we would have chip timing at our events just to make life easier. We've done the whole pen and paper with a clock in the lashings of rain because it's a winter sport and that was a nightmare. So we got a chip timing company on board, which made life a lot easier for the committee. So generally we start individually. So with the bike or the scooter, because it's so fast paced, we would start them with a bit of a gap in between. So you might have 30 seconds between each competitor just for safety. And again, because the dogs are so revved up at the start line, they are raring to go. So you don't want a risk of tangles or dogs maybe fighting just because they're so wound up. So we usually start them individually. Sometimes with the running, the canicross, we would have maybe 3 or 4 people starting together.
Is there like a weight category? Because if somebody is a big, powerful dog that can run faster than a smaller or less powerful dog.
No, not at the moment. We don't. We have had people, it's usually the small dog owners that ask if we could separate it. But again, you know, some of the dogs you might have, you know, it's what way do you kind of split the weight? You know, if you go up to 20 kilos, some collies would be small, you know, lighter than 20 kilos, but they're still fast and strong.
Yeah,
so it's hard to kind of be able to judge, you know, if you were to go up in 10 kilo categories or whatever, you know.
It's still pretty much a fledgling sport in Ireland. Would that be fair to say?
Not really. Like the Club Canicross Ireland itself has been up and running. We're coming into the 11th year now.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. And there are other clubs in Ireland and they've been going longer. Some of them are no longer in existence, but they would have started before that. So we started in 2015. But there are clubs. I know there's one up in the north and they've been running since 2009, I believe. So, you know, it's only the last few years that we've really started seeing a surge in members.
Yeah. And is it big internationally? Are there international competitions?
Yeah. So every year the International Canicross Federation, which would be the overall federation for the world of canicross itself, they put on world championships every year, and every year it's in a different country. So last year we were in Czech Republic. And we had a nice team. I think there were 8 or 9 of us over there. So we went over and, you know, it's big in Europe. The French, the Czech, the Polish, all of the European teams, like they would have a lot more people going. They could have 100 odd.
Oh, really? Right.
Yeah. And even their events, like their events would have hundreds of competitors.
Yeah.
So we only have a few. And even the UK, they would be in the hundreds as well.
Yeah. So this year the Worlds are in Poland, is it?
Yep.
Yeah.
They're in Poland in November, the beginning of November.
So yeah. Oh, so it tends to happen during the winter rather than...
Yeah. So canicross in itself will generally be a winter sport. Our racing season runs from around September to March because you're not going to run dogs in the summer. It's too warm.
Yeah.
You know, you're running the risk of overheating and dehydration and everything, and it's not worth it.
And if it's lash and rain, you'll still go at it.
That's part and parcel, you know, it just makes the trail muddy and makes it more fun. So
yes, depending on your definition of fun. Louise, thanks a million for coming
that's
in
great.
To us.
Thanks
that
for
was,
having me.
That was Louise Jones there, president of Canicross Ireland.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.